Hi, my name is Cindy. I'm a compulsive eater. Super grateful to be here today. I see so many familiar faces. I'm feeling like some really cool energy here in the room today. So great, super grateful to be here. I haven't had an original thought in years. So if you hear something that is familiar, you said it. I hang on to all these little pithy wisdom things that people say in the meetings, and it has helped me so much with recovery. So, I guess to start out, I'll qualify by saying, as far back as I can remember, I've always had an abnormal relationship with food. One of my earliest memories, in fact, I have a picture of it, a photo of it. There was a lot of craziness in the household where I grew up in Minnesota. Things flying in the air, not only words, but pots and pans and all kinds of crazy stuff going on in my world as a toddler. And I sat under the kitchen table. In fact, it's kind of a joke in our family that Cindy was sitting under the table eating like a whole something. And my mom took a picture of it. And actually, I've got it right here on my desk to remind me that early on, I don't know if I was born that way or I just learned to cope somehow by using food. But for some reason, food brought me that comfort, helped me to check out that I didn't have to deal with. I don't have no idea what's in the mind of a toddler, but I do remember that, which is really kind of strange. So I learned food brought me comfort, it helped me check out, and I transferred that through all my years growing up. Whenever I felt I clearly remember feeling very awkward, socially awkward, not able to, really feel comfortable in my own skin. I did fine in school, both elementary and high school. I was a fine student. It was not about academics, but it really was about socially fitting in. And I have vivid memories of riding the bus home and can't wait to get home because as soon as I got home, I'd start f stuffing my face. Like that was just. There was a lot of food insecurity in our home. We were not rich. And so sometimes it's the truth. There wasn't enough. There wasn't enough. My mom will share stories about how she did her best to hold our family together. And so that might have been part of it. I guess at this point in my life, it really doesn't matter. I just know that I turn to food when I feel uncomfortable. So as a young adult, I felt extremely awkward. I had a lot of body shame. I was a chunky child, going to the Husky area to buy clothes in the stores. I remember feeling a lot of shame. My mom was a seamstress, a professional seamstress, actually, and she made all our clothes. And for some reason, that made me feel a little less than too, because I had homemade clothes. Now I value that greatly, but at the time, it just always felt like it just wasn't quite enough. So, that abnormal relationship with food spilled out into my young when I was a young adult. I remember never feeling comfortable. I guess that's the number one feeling that I had. And throughout my adult years, I ballooned up to a couple pregnancies. Each time I got pregnant, I gained weight and never lost it afterwards. So ballooned up to over 300 pounds at one point. I don't know, I stopped weighing myself. And then I always knew food was a problem, so always spoke to me in the 90s. And I ended up going to a couple of meetings thinking, I just cannot control this whole food thing. Something is wrong. I was really successful in my professional life, had gone to school, got a master's degree. I did, I was really, really successful in that area. But I had this big secret, my relationship with food, that I didn't talk to anybody about. And so when I went to OA, when I first came in, it was like, oh my gosh, these are my people. They're telling my deepest, darkest secrets of, eating out of a trash can or, eating my children's food or whatever, fill in the blank of what I did with food. But it really helped me feel a sense of community. I didn't stay in the 90s though, because the whole gray sheet thing, couldn't do it. 301, three meals a day, nothing in between. Once, and like I just couldn't do it. I don't know. It just wasn't my time. So kind of bounced in and out of OA over the years. And then finally came in. Someone said, when you, this was probably, I don't know, early, early 2000s, but it was like someone said, like when you come in, come all the way in, and when you sit down, sit all the way down. So for some reason I heard that and I'm like, okay, I'm in, I'm all in. And so I've been coming for quite a few years now. One of the gifts that I got in early recovery is I had a sponsor who explained the three-legged stool to me, the physical, the mental, and the spiritual, which today still holds true in my life. I have a physical disease. When I put certain foods in my mouth, I have no full button. None. None. I mean, it's bizarre. It is just bizarre. And I know people in here can understand that. So identifying my alcoholic foods, and then the mental disease of, this time it'll be different. Just that mental capacity to feel a lot of shame and guilt for what I do, and then wake up the next day and do the same thing again. Like just that loop of doing something that I know I don't want to do. And then probably most importantly, that has grown more than anything in my program is the spiritual malady, the third leg of the stool, that malady meaning some sort of disconnect with a higher power. Like what is that all about? What is it about my food addiction that needs a spiritual solution? So over the last, the rest of my life now, I've been a seeker of looking at that spiritual solution for not only my food addiction, but whenever I feel uncomfortable, wishing things were different is my number one character defect that still pops up today. So, like I know when I have that. So the muscle memory of going to my spiritual solution, wishing things are different. The spiritual solution that time has over time has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller, and it's as a result of working this program without a doubt. So, what recovery looks like for me today is I do go to a lot of meetings. I retired 3 years ago, and I have the blessing of all the Zoom meetings that are available to me. I do go to what's called a bridge meeting, which is a bridge meeting is considered as all 12 steps are welcome in those meetings. It's a little bit different. It might be an outside issue for some people, so I won't go into what they look like, but I do go to other 12-step meetings, and these bridge meetings kind of help everything. All of me shows up in those meetings. I don't know how else to describe it, but I'll put my contact information in if anyone else wants to know about those bridge meetings. I do go to two-way prayer meetings. I have found two-way prayer to be probably the and writing are the most useful tools for me to connect with that higher power to look for spiritual solutions for whatever's happening in my life. I do go to prayer and meditation meetings because I have found, because of my spiritual practice, practicing meditation to connect with a higher power, both inside myself as well as outside. Prayer and meditation have been a big part of my community of recovery. I do sponsor people. I love talking recovery is my favorite thing to do by far, by far. And I've had lots of world experiences. I've lived all over the world, and at the top of the list is talking recovery wherever I'm at. So I absolutely love that part of it. I do have a food plan for my, and it's very individual. I have identified four alcoholic foods that I do not eat. For a while, I used the green, yellow, red thing that helped me for a while, but I have four foods that absolutely, if I eat them, I just cannot stop. So that's a hard no that for those, and that's not hard for me today because I know what that will lead to, and that seems to work for me. I don't know, my life is balanced, food's not an issue as long as I stay away from those four foods. So that's how I define my food plan today. And it leads me to, abstinence, refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive eating behaviors. I don't know. It took a lot of years to get to this clarity, but I'm really grateful for that. And it might change tomorrow. Who knows? But we'll see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen, but today that works for me really well. And spoiler alert is, losing the weight is not the best part of this program at all. I'm less than half the size that I used to be, but and that's fine. I mean, I do feel good. Obviously, I can get up and down off the couch without pushing myself, and I walk, about 4 or 5 miles every day just because I love to in nature. I have a physical capacity that, is just absolutely wonderful. But that is not the best part. The best part of the recovery for me is that spiritual connection and learning how to live life on life's terms. Life gets lifey. Someone says in this room, someone we were talking about gratitude in one meeting, and someone said, gratitude is just noticing. Just noticing the truth. So thank you for, all the pithy things that I hear in these meetings. It really helps me a lot. I do use writing as a tool. Like I said, I write every day. I do a letter to my higher power every day, where I come to the table. Things are going good. Things are not going good. Doesn't matter. And then I sit quietly. I use the big book as a guide to go through the prayer and meditation to write an answer from my higher power. And my higher power always surprises me. Always surprises me. It's like it is something way greater than me that gives me the wisdom and the guidance of how to live each day. So I think maybe at the end of the day, how I would describe it. In fact, Tuesday in this meeting, we were talking about how our relationship, I think it was higher power with recovery, but it's like a fingerprint. That's the best way that I can describe this. Like, this is really unique. My recovery is unique to me, and through the years, using all the tools and connecting with other people over time, like that's a really individual thing. I'm happy to share, my individual plan or individual experience with anyone and anyone that I sponsor or talk to. Actually, if people ask me for advice what to do, I don't even know how to do that. I don't know what you should do, but I will sit with you as we create a space where you can explore that for yourself, and I'm all in. Doesn't matter. I struggled a lot with calling higher power God or Jesus, or I practiced Buddhism for several years, kind of still dabble in that. Now I'm into Stoicism this year. For some reason, that called to me. Doesn't really matter. I just know that what I know for sure is that there's something greater than me that can provide some guidance, and everything is working out to my higher good. I really have learned to trust that unknown because, I'm a control freak. But I'm learning a day at a time that when I'm disturbed, the spiritual axiom in step 10 says, like whenever I'm disturbed, hard stop. Someone said that the other day. I don't need to fill in the rest of the blank. Who did it? What did it? What's happening? When I'm disturbed, hard stop, go to my higher power. And that's been really helpful. See, even, every day I learn something new from the people in these rooms. So I'm so grateful for exposure to so many people who are in recovery. Some of the things that I know for sure, figuring it out is not one of the steps comes to mind because I'm always trying to control things. I am always, like that's just my nature. As a toddler, back, when I was a toddler, I didn't know how to control all the chaos, which that's a fact, that's true. So I ate food. Today I'm learning instead to go to my higher power. I have a interesting experience. I just went to Omaha last month. And I was in the O'Hare Airport and I got stuck there. The flight just kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed because of weather. Finally, at midnight, they canceled my flight. And so I had stayed in the O'Hare Airport all night long, waiting for my early, early morning flight the next day. And I found this place to lay down, not really sleep. It was freezing cold in the airport, but it was a kind of funny, a bolt-shaped ottoman in a kid's area. So I laid there with my purse and my clothes because I was a little bit scared, in the airport all by myself, coat all wrapped up because I was warm, cold, and that's the only thing to keep me cold, kind of shivering. Probably laid there 4 or 5 hours, got on my flight. Got home the next day, everything was fine. But I had this awareness that, you know what, through that whole experience, I never wish things were different. Wow, that blows my mind. Just complete acceptance for it is what it is. I am so blessed with that because that's not how I used to live my life, feeling uncomfortable turning to food and other things because. I don't know, I kept my capacity to tolerate feeling uncomfortable. The bar was not that high, but I guess it's higher today. So I'm super, super grateful for that. Acceptance really is the key. And I use the set aside prayer oftentimes to journal about and write about what is the truth here? What's really, really happening? And kind of sort out what's the story, the mind bubble above my head. What's my story that I'm making up? And then how do I sort through that? Or the serenity prayer, to sort use that as a sorter to really get down to the truth. And when I remember the truth, because the truth is, My life is so rich and so abundant and so blessed with recovery that it truly blows my mind. Like I really feel like my higher power in some way chose me, not because I'm any better than anyone else at all, just from a place of humility, like, oh my gosh, I have this willingness to learn and to see and connect with other people. So my higher put me exactly where I'm at on this day to share my story. Like this is what I've been chosen to do is to, share experience, strength, and hope, a lot of hope that recovery works. Like, I am really excited about recovery. My letter this morning, I got up and wrote and said, I'm a little nervous. I gotta, tell my story. This is a little bit outside my comfort zone. I've done it before, but I don't, maybe I'm excited, not nervous today. And that my the feelings are kind of the same for me. I just kind of get a little bit of adrenaline, but my higher power goes, you got this. Like just you if you're telling your story, nobody can argue with you. Like it's my story. So I'm super grateful to be here. I think one way to put this is I do believe recovery happens without my permission, and I say that because I'm such a control person. Like I wanna write the script of how this should work, what's happening, what I should do. In fact, I often ask for really concrete steps of what to do with my higher power, and sometimes I get them, but oftentimes I get messages of, just trust the process, Cindy. You've had high highs and very low lows, very low lows. In your life. And I'm sure most people in here have. But at the end of the day, it works out. It really does work out to your higher good. You might not know the reason behind it, but you don't have to know the reason. What you need to do is just show up. In fact, that was my, I pick a word every year. That was my word last year, was show up. And it worked. I show up, my higher power shows up, you show up, and together we get better. I am so grateful for that. Promises come true. I think, I love the promises meeting. I think it's Monday. We have the 9-step promises in this meeting. And also, I would encourage people if they haven't done it, for me anyway, it really is a blessing to review the 10th step promises too, because one of the 10th step promises, when we practice that spiritual axiom is, we will cease fighting everyone and everything. There is such a release in that letting go of not fighting. An example of that is I travel a lot now that I'm retired. I'm so blessed. In fact, I'm going to Australia in a couple of weeks, so I'm really excited about that. But I go on a lot of cruises. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I've put myself in situations where I'm outside of my comfort zone at home, and I can go on cruises where there's an abundance of food and alcohol and gambling and just an abundance of everything, like over the top. But you know what? When I go, it doesn't even look like food. I don't know how to describe it. I don't have words for it. Over the holidays too, when I, everybody gets together and there's a lot of eating, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, it doesn't even look like food. I guess this is step 10, cease fighting everything and everyone. I don't know. So gratitude is noticing, just noticing those kinds of experiences that make me available to my higher power so that I can show up. So I can show up for myself, I can show up for other people, I can show up in meetings, just do the best that I can. And there's a real humility around that for me that I'm just so blessed because, I should not be alive. No. No, like if you were to look at the behavior that I was exhibiting during my young adult years and teenage years, especially, like, oh my gosh, like I should not be here, but I am. And I'm really grateful. I come from a place of really being grateful for most of all having a relationship with my higher power that is ineffable. I really don't have words to describe it, but I like to talk about it because that's where my recovery happens. So Judy, thank you for asking me to speak. I just love you. You did such a good job and role model for outreach for all of us. And it's a pleasure to be here. And I see my clock is running down, so I guess I've had enough. I don't have any more to say, but thank you so much for letting me be here, and I'll pass. Thank you.